Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. We always talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, on this 17th day of May. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much. Good afternoon and happy Friday to you as well. Can you look back over the week for me? Tell me what happened.
I think most of the week was probably dominated after the crop progress numbers came out and after we saw that Iowa was running 64% behind normal and the Illinois was running behind 47% and Minnesota 50%. Once we got that priced in early in the week, I think the wheat technicals breaking, the corn weather opening up, and the dollar pushing to three-year highs really dominated the trade from midweek up until this morning. And with that came the idea, and why the wheat was the weakest suit out there, was that it didn't have the demand underneath it that the trade wanted. In a big-picture mindset, Todd, the weekly export sales were actually better than trade guesses, and they were 52% above the four-week average. But with the dollar rallying so sharply, and South Korea and other countries noticeably buying corn and wheat from other countries, and the fact that the hard red wheat belt was expected to get some more rains next week, it seemed as though we were back in the pre-March report type mindset where the trade couldn't buy a demand rally in the wheat, even if good news came out for it. And I think I lay that at the feet of the dollar and the outside markets. Now, today, that noticeably changed. We saw the supply-side holding pattern that had been kind of gripping the trade and the demand-led market that had been kind of making the beans look differently than the feed grains. That all changed with the spreads, and we saw the corn spread, July D's, close at 133.25 above the March stocks report level. More importantly, the July Nov bean spread, 220.25, new contract high, takes us higher than even where we were last summer in the midst of drought. And that all comes, I think, back, or most of it comes back to the meal market. The meal market just simply stood up. The cash meal in Raleigh, North Carolina is $500 a ton. That's $70 a ton over the July. And I think that's really what spurred this market today and gave it a completely different look from the previous 3 days of trade.
So which contract for the meal are you looking out
to? The July.
You're looking at July. Okay. So this is in the soybeans, then, a rally based on short supplies now and potentially later as well, or not?
Yeah, I think now, you know, kind of like what we talked about last week, I think we're kind of in the red zone now that May futures have expired, and we're going to be getting South American supplies that will become more and more and more competitive as prices go higher here in the cash market. And it works, cash market works into southeastern United States right now from South America. It's still a little bit tough based upon some of the numbers I've crunched and some of the cash people I've talked to bring it into the Gulf and then go up the rivers. But, you know, you take beans up another 30 to 50 cents on a $15 to $20 meal run next week, say, if that would happen, then that starts to make even the Gulf importing cash flow a little bit more. So I think there is a level where you're going to run into some problems, and I think the same with corn, because we're starting to hear, once again, ethanol plants not taking bids this week, like a Poet plant in Alexandria, Indiana, still running, but stop taking bids this week, said they're going to open back up next week. So this is where you're really tight supplies, helping the new crop out right now. You're probably on the long end of that at this stage, and so I'm wanting to get some more, probably the rest of my 10% of the old crop that I still have left in both corn and beans. If we have another move back up next week, probably want to dump the rest of that out.
How much higher on each one of them would you like to start making those sales?
You know, I talked to a client down by Mount Vernon today, and he was running right around $15.35 in cash beans. I would say, like I've said most of this past year, you get above $15.50 and you start to move towards $16 in cash beans. That's probably going to create some real friction from the demand side, and also, like I said, get some imports in here maybe a little faster from South America. One of the contacts in Chicago told me today that Brazil is moving corn on the water a lot faster than we had thought, that it was more likely that, and it's still pretty likely they're going to have most of their supplies available by July, but they're already starting to try and get some on the water here in mid-May. So I would say, you know, you get another 50 cents higher in the cash contract for the beans, and it's going to be tough to get much higher than that, and I feel comfortable selling there. Probably half that in the corn. You get a 25-cent rally in the corn, you're back to that $7 level and crashing through that. And you, as you get, you know, above $7, I think that gets tough for the demand side again.
Not in the corn, there will be many, even on the beans, that cannot believe that the United States would import either of those. But let's take corn up in particular. Earlier in the week, I was in Washington, D.C., as most know, and probably some heard a little piece that I sent back with a soybean farmer and a corn farmer from Mississippi's in Canton, and talking about the availability of supplies, new crop corn, in his area. For Mississippi, about 75% of the intended acres he thinks was planted, they're all 3 weeks late. And he thinks that there may very well be a need to import corn into New Orleans.
And I think that's right. I think this is where you're like 2004, where one of the clients I was talking to today had recollected that he thought he remembered that we did see some imports of corn, meal come up the river in 2004 because of the tight bean supplies. And I think you're probably close to that same situation in the corn at this stage of the game. We also heard this week that Mexico and the United States might be making a deal with sugar, where we bring sugar in from Mexico, we blend it and make it into ethanol and ship it right back down to them. I think what I would say to those people that don't necessarily believe in the importation of corn and beans and meal this year, if you don't believe that, at least acknowledge that you're dealing with a three-year high in the dollar index, and countries like South Korea and Japan and other Asian countries that have lost buying power are now sitting in a situation where they're kind of going anywhere but here to get products. South Korea noticeably buying South African corn, noticeably buying feed wheat. I heard numbers of 650,000 tons that South Korea's bought in the last 10 days, and none of that's come from us. So the dollar is impacting our actual export trade. I think that's fair to say. And by the same token, it's impacting negatively our speculative trade, because the weaker Japanese yen has got the market in a mindset that the deflation is under more prominence, and therefore we don't want to be in commodities. I thought a really neat statistic that happened this week was I think it was Reuters put out that the revenue of the top 10 banks, investment banks, for the first quarter, their revenue fell 54% for the first 3 months of 2013. Part of that regulation, but also part of that leading back to the idea that the commodity super cycle is over with, that relates back to this stronger dollar trade too. So if you don't think the imports are coming, well, at least look at the other factors out there that are probably going to limit our demand side.
That would hold the cap on old crop prices. New crop prices, on the other hand, are kind of a different story. Can you talk just a bit about what you're hearing from producers as you talk to them across the nation as to whether they've been in the field and how much corn planting they've been able to do over the last 5 days?
Many of them, and then this is kind of interesting you say this, because I was joking with them by the end of this week, many of them have not had more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night for the last 4 nights that I've spoken with. So to give you an idea of the breakneck pace that has opened up here, because the central corn belt and the eastern corn belt didn't get the rains that were on the models last Friday, they have really been going hard if they can. And so I think you will see a substantial increase in planting progress. Those producers are telling me it's going in very, very well for the most part. As you get below 36, though, in Illinois, you start to run into real problems, and guys that are going are essentially mudding it in based upon what I've heard from clients that I work with. So you do have a certain level south that is not getting much done. The big number on Monday to me will be, where's Minnesota, where's Iowa, and to a lesser degree, where's South Dakota? Because I assume Illinois is going to make a lot of progress on Monday's numbers, but Iowa being 60% behind the five-year average, that screams out to me that's your national yield. So these are the Minnesota-Iowa numbers, I think, are going to be extremely important to the trade. They're going to be extremely important to me as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time with
us. You betcha, sir. Have a good weekend.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana.